Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Yevamais Samach Vav. We begin right at the new perek, which is six lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Almana l'Kohen Gadol. Suppose there's a forbidden union, Almana, a widow marrying a Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha v'Chalutza marrying a Kohen Hedyot. So she was divorced, or she had Chalitza done to her. Of course, at that point, she is usher to marry a Kohen Hedyot. So let's say they do go ahead with this forbidden union. Now, the Isha has her own slaves. Now, there are two types of items that she can bring into the marriage. One is called Nichsei Melug, or in this case, Avdei Melug, Avadim who are considered Melug. And then we have Avadim who are Tzoin Barzel. The Mishnah will explain and Rashi will elaborate further as to the exact definition and nature of these two categories of possessions which the Isha will bring into the marriage. So first we have Meluk, literally meaning scolded, like you would scold the feathers off a bird. It takes its, the term Meluk is related to the fact that the husband sort of skims off the profits. So she brings in a field into the marriage, right? She owns a field, she gets married. She still retains full ownership of that field, it's hers. But her husband gets payres, profits, produce from that field. That's the halacha. Sometimes you can have tzoin barzel, a different type of arrangement between the isha v'isha. She'll bring in the field, she'll bring in the avodim, and they will actually record it in the kesuva. So it's listed in the kesuva as something which was brought into the marriage. It was appraised upon marriage, and he takes responsibility. He looks after it. Any loss or gain is his. She's still the owner. So when she leaves him through divorce or death, she takes it back with her, but as long as she's married, he looks after it. It's like his domain. And that's why it's called Tzoin Barzel. Tzoin, the sheep, the flock of animals, Barzel, which are like dependable and reliable, like iron. Basically means that she is fully confident and certain and secure in this investment, because he has to look after it. It's all his loss or his gain, and that's why it gets its that's how it gets its name, Tzoin Barzel. Now, here we're speaking about this Mishnah. We're going to focus on avodim, slaves. That's going to be the topic of our conversation, the topic of the next few dafim in this perek. Typically, conventionally, just as the isha of a kohen will eat teruma, she's considered kinyan kaspoy, his possession, so to speak. Likewise, a kohen's avodim will also have the right to have teruma. They belong to a kohen. What happens if wife brings in her avodim, her slave, her eved kanani, her shivcha kananis? She brings it into the marriage. Typically, just as she begins eating teruma, likewise her avadim as well. But we have many different cases, different variations of this halacha. Let's begin the Mishnah again. We have a marriage which is not acceptable. Almana, marrying a kohen gadol. Almana l'kohen gadol. Grusha b'chalutza l'kohen hedyot. So the fact is, in this case, although her husband eats teruma, but wife may not, because once she interacts with a kohen in a forbidden manner, she becomes a chalala. She's affected and tainted by that interaction, which makes her unfit for teruma. What happens to the avodim which she introduced into the marriage? Hichnisa loy avdei melug ve'avdei tzoin barzel. Both variations of avodim. Avodim which are still considered fully hers, that's the melug. He can use them, but it's really hers. Any gain or loss, in value, etc., is her business. Or v'avdei tzoin barzel. Those are the avodim which are listed in the Kesuva, for which husband takes achrayus, can they have teruma? It depends. Avdei melug layechlo betruma. The avdei melug, which are primarily hers, they identify with her, just as she can't eat, they can't eat. Avdei tzoyin barzel, on the other hand, they identify with the husband who's kayin, layechlo, they can have teruma. And the Mishnah explains, what are these terms, melug and tzoyin barzel, ve'elu hein avdei melug? Avdei melug are totally hers, identify with her. If they die or they go up in value, it's her loss, her gain. Ava bishu chayev b'mezoyin, of course, although husband has to feed them, hare'elu lo yechle b'truma, still they cannot have truma because they identify with her. Ve'elu in avdei tzoyin barzel. What about the other types? The tzoyin barzel. First of all, what are they? How do we define them? Im meisu, if they should die, meisu loy, they're his loss. He has to compensate for that. Vim hoisiru, if they should go up in value, if there's some profit involved here, hoisiru loy, it's all his gain. In this case, ho yilvu chai bachar yisam, since he is fully responsible for their well-being, it's completely, it's like his, they identify with him, hare'elu yachl betruma, that allows them to have truma, even in this case. Now the Mishnah will conclude with another two categories, which are relatively conventional. Bas Yisrael, Shnisus Lekoin, a perfectly fine marriage, an Isha from a Yisrael family, who did not have Truma up until this point, she went ahead to marry a Kohen, upon which she starts eating Truma, V'yichnisa le'yavadim, and she brought some avadim into the fold, whether it's this type or that, Bein Avdei Melug, Bein Avdei Tzoyin Barzel, Hare Elu Yechle Betruma, in both cases, they can have Truma just as their owners can have Truma. On the other hand, you have a Bas Kohen, Shenisus Leistrel, an Isha from a Kohen family, although she had Truma up until this point, but once she goes and marries a Yisrael, she has to stop right there. And therefore, her Avodim as well will stop eating Truma. V'yichnisa le'avodim, and she brought some slaves onto the scene. Bein avdei meluk, bein avdei tzoyin barzel. Whether it's these or those, hari elu lo yechle betruma, they may not have truma. Let's take a look at Rashi, starting from the beginning of the Mishnah. It says Rashi, amon el kohen gadol, hichnis lo yavdei meluk. Rashi will explain these two terms: masha isha machneses labala, v'shama lo lekabel olav be'achrayes suvasa. When isha brings into the marriage, and is appraised. Shamalai means she had it appraised on his behalf so that he can be makabal on himself, b'achrayis k'suvasa, to take full responsibility for any loss or gain. K'moy shekoisvin, as we write in the k'suva, we do it today. Uvada nedunya, this is a nedunya, a term for the possession that she introduces into the marriage. Dan ala slave that he brings in, v'moysev k'negnem v'koysev ha'akoyl, kibob ol ploini kach v'kach v'skavasa, and they summarize, okay, this is the amount that he's makabal on himself. This is called kairin tzoyin barzel, because it's absolute, it's dependable, it's secure. V'yesh, shemachnesis momen harbi, v'eino k'sev eskuloi b'ksavasa. Sometimes you have an isha brings in lots of stuff that's not all recorded in the ksuba. U'mashayeris la'atzma, and she leaves some out of the ksuba, hey nichse melug, those are called melug. What happens there? Habal oichel peris. The husband enjoys the fruit, the produce, v'akeren shalom, but the actual principle remains hers. V'akeren shalom kayim. V'meisu, meisu lo, v'pichsu, pichsu lo, if they die or lose value, it's her loss. Lashon tzoyin barzel, says Rashi, how does that term come from? Keren kayim. Where does barzel come from? Keren. It's the referring to the actual principle, which is kayim, which is lasting, like barzel. Shein poichas v'nivsad. She has no risk at all when it comes to these things. Shafilu meisu kula nacharis and olav. Even if they totally die out, it's his responsibility. L'shalom lo kashiyomus eigar shena. He has to compensate for that if he should die or divorce. So getting back to the first case, we have an almana with a kohen gadol. What happens to her avodim? All depends. Avdei meluk lo yechlu. L'vishayin shol, they identify with her. V'chalola. Keep in mind, she's become a chalola. L'kaman b'gemara mefarish tama, as the Gemara will explain. On the other hand, you have a Bas Yisrael. Shinis is l'kayin, perfectly fine. In that case, Afilo avdei melug she'enon shaloi yechelu. Even the avdei melug which aren't technically his, they identify with her, they can have truma. Why? Here's a chiddush. Dehainu kinyonai, because the isha is the kinyan of the husband, so to speak. She's his possession, and when she has a kinyan, when she has a possession, like an eved, that eved as well can eat by way of her. It sort of trickles down from the kohen to the wife to the eved. Dehainu kinyonai shekana kinyan. V'alfinu b'gemara, as we learn in the gemara, the kinyonai shekana kinyan, he as well can have truma oich. Asks the gemara kash. Ve'avdei melug lo yechel betruma. An almana with a kohen gadol. She has avadim. The avdei melug, which identify with her, may not have truma. Why not? Am I? Why not? Why don't we consider them kinyanai? The wife is kinyan of husband. Shekana kinyan, which acquired possessions. Who can eat truma? As we just had in Rashi in the Mishnah. The sanya minai in the kohen shenasa isha. V'kano avadim. How do we know that if a kohen married or purchased slaves, sheyechel betruma, they may eat truma? Shenama rekoyen ke yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yechel boy. Any possession, any acquisition of a kohen, whether it's wife or avadim, they can have a truma. U'manai in l'isha shekhan sa avadim. What about if the wife purchased avadim? Or the avod of the kohen's eved, he purchased an eved. Shekhanu avodim. How can that be? The kohen doesn't have his own possession. So Rashi and Tosis explain. We're speaking about a fellow who received money from somebody who gave it to him on condition that your master has no access to this money. It's completely yours. In that case, he can use that money to purchase further. He purchased an eved. Can that second generation eved eat truma? Yes. Sheyoich lebetruma shenamar v'kohen ki yikne. Ki yikne, Rashi says extra words. It could have just said v'kinyan, the nefesh kinyan kaspoy of a kohen. It says v'kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoy hu yoichal boy. We learn from here to add this case as well. Kinyanoi, a kinyan of a kohen who turned around and bought something else, shekana kinyan, he as well can be oichal in truma. So why can't the nichsei melug? Why can't the avdei melug of this almana l'kohen gadol have truma? She's the kinyan, and he is the eved is the kinyan of the kinyan. Answers the Gemara. Min ha-Torah. It's not permissible in this case. You know why? Because she can't eat, so they can't eat. Remember, they identify with her. She's sort of feeding them. If she can't, they can't. They can't be better than her. Kol ha-Oichel, one who eats himself, one who has access to Truma on his own, machel can feed further. Kol shein oichel, but somebody who doesn't have access to Truma on his own, like this almana l'kohen gadol, who is a halala, a machal, she can't feed further. V'loi, is that an absolute ironclad rule? Very oral. V'chlat tmeim, you have a kohen who's an oral, who can't eat truma. You have a person who's tamei. Kohen tamei may not have truma. She'en an oichel, despite the fact that they can't eat. U'machil, they can feed their wives or children, or slaves. Why is this different? Apparently, it's not dependent upon who's feeding you. Big difference, says the Gemara. You can't compare Hasam and the Aral and the Tame. There's nothing inherently wrong with them. They identify as pure, full-fledged Kohanim. Hasam Pumayu Koivlu. It's as though their mouths are hurting them. Meaning, he's an Aral, he's not Aral, he's a Tame. At this moment, for the time being, I don't have the access to Truma. But it doesn't relabel the person. He's still a person who has Truma eating rights. As opposed to an almana who married a kohen gadol, she is labeled as a halala who has no truma rights. And subsequently, she can't feed her slave. Asks the Gemara, Vari mamzer. She'ein oichel u'machel. What about a mamzer? A kohen who's a mamzer. He can't eat. Actually, let's go to Rashi. It's not a kohen mamzer. It's just look at Rashi about 3-4 lines down. Very mamzer. Interesting case. Bas Yisrael shenisas l'kohen. Now we know before we start the Rashi, we know that if a Bas Yisrael marries a kohen, she can have truma. But once he dies, she can't. If she has a child from him that allows her to continue eating truma on account of that child who's a kohen. Okay. It says Rashi like this. Bas Yisrael shenisas l'kohen. Bas Yisrael marries a kohen. The older Bas, she had a daughter, Rabas nisus la mamzer, who married a mamzer. The older ben, who had a child. Umeisa. And the mother of the mamzer, meaning the daughter of the kohen's wife, passed away. Vaben kaim, but this grandchild's still around. Grandchild who is a mamzer, the child of a mamzer, so he's a mamzer. This mamzer can actually be the cause of his grandmother's eating truma, right? Because grandmother was married to a kohen. Kohen passed away. As long as there's some descendant, some offspring of the kohen around, whether it's son, grandson, even if it's a mamzer, it doesn't matter. She still hangs on to her relationship to the kohen, so to speak, and allows it to continue eating truma. So you have a mamzer, his grandchild, who cannot eat truma. He's not even a kohen, right? But since he's a grandchild of a kohen, that allows a grandmother to hang on, so to speak, to her former husband and continue eating truma. His grandmother, who was a wife of a kohen, can continue eating truma on account of this mamzer, la'achar misas bal, after her husband passes away. Why? Because she has some sort of offspring from the kohen, which she can relate to, which sort of allows her to hang on to her former husband. She identifies with her husband on account of that child or grandchild. It's not the same for the perik, as we learn in the Mishnah later on in the perik. But this grandchild himself can't eat. It's a zoru. He's not even a kohen. Now the truth is, this whole concept didn't have to involve specifically a mamzer, right? V'hu adin nami im kosher hava. Shnod mitzrol kosher. Nami ein oichel machel as im imoy. The same if the grandchild is a Yisrael. So the kohen had a daughter, or married a Yisrael, or had another child, and this grandchild is the only one left. He's the offspring, the only one left, which allows grandmother, who was the Eshes Kohen, to have truma. Same halacha, doesn't have to be a mamzer. The Gemara chose to refer to a mamzer because that happens to be the case in the Mishnah. But the point is one and the same. In any case, you have an individual who he himself has no truma rights. He's merely a grandchild of a kohen. He's not even a kohen. Whether he's Yisrael or Yisrael mamzer, it's irrelevant. He's not eating, but he allows, he empowers, he enables his grandmother, the Eishes Kohen, to have truma. That's a kasha. That sort of flies in the face of the formula that we presented, that only one who can eat himself, only one who is an oichel, can be machel. Here we have a case of a non-oichel. He has no rights to eat truma, but he can feed his grandmother. He can be the cause of his grandmother's achilas truma. Okay, so getting back to the Gemara. Varei mamzer, shein oichel umachel. You have a case of a mamzer, a grandchild. Although he personally doesn't eat truma, but he will allow somebody else to eat truma. Same in our Mishnah. Where the almana marrying the kohen gadol, just because she can't have truma, why can't she feed her avod? Amar Avino, how could he compare? Kinyan oichel ka'amar. Over there we're not speaking about acquisitions, avod and possessions. We're speaking about a child of a grandchild of a. It's a different story. Here in our Mishnah we're speaking about a new type of achilas truma, on account of being a possession, a kinyan, something acquired by a kohen. In this context, in the context of the kinyan, this certainly has to fit this formula. Only a kinyan of a person who is oichel. If you were acquired, if you are the possession of an owner who has truma rights, then you can eat as well. That's what we're speaking about. It's a whole different story. Because, remember, this Eved is not a Kayin. He's eating because he's acquired. He's a possession. He's a Kinyan of a Kayin. Okay, so if your owner eats, you also eat. Kinyan Eichel Kamar. Kinyan Eichel Machla. Kinyan of a person who eats. Yeah, so that owner can actually feed you. She'ena Eichel, but if your owner doesn't have Truma rights, such as in this case where the Almana is married, Kohen Gadol, she's the Chalala, she can't have herself. Eina Machla, she can't bring about Achilas Truma to her Avad. So according to this Pshat of Ravina, it seems like it's Midaraisa. The concept is Minat Torah. A kinyan of an Eichel, okay. A kinyan of a non-Eichel cannot have Truma. So that explains the Halacha in the Mishnah. We have an Alman or married to a Kohen Gadol. Can the Avadim have Truma? Depends which Avadim. The Avadim that identify with the husband, the Tzoyin Barzal, the ones that he assumes responsibility for, identify with him. He's an Eichel. He can be Machel. The Avdei Malug, which identify with her, she's not an Eichel. And likewise, they. V'rav Amar, Midaraisa Meichel Achel. You should know, Minat Torah, there's no reason why they can't have Truma. Rabbanan hu degazribu, Chacham decided, you know what? Let them not have Truma. You know why? This will encourage the separation. It will hopefully bring about the dissolving of this marriage, which is a forbidden union, right? Not monotok and godl, right? Rabbanan hu degazribu, Gdesha Toimar. This will evoke feelings in this Isha's mind, in her heart. She'll view herself as deficient, as the marriage as being inappropriate. Look, I personally can't have truma. Likewise, my slaves don't have truma. What am I here? I'm not a wife. I'm like a zoyna. He'll come to dissolving of the marriage, which is great. I'll give you another reason why the avodim of this isha cannot have truma at this point. She might continue feeding them even after her husband's death, which of course she shouldn't. The only reason why they're eating is because of this marriage. She might continue doing so after death. Asks the Gemara, so why does this concern apply specifically to an amon of the kain gadol? Elo me'ata bas yisrael shisus l'kain. Move on to the next halach in the Mishnah. Regla ishis kain. Isha from a non-Kohen family marries a Kohen. What does the Mishnah say? All the Avadim have Truma. El Miata, according to your concern, in that case as well, Bas Yisrael, Shnisis L'Kohen. Loi Tachel. She should not feed her Avadim Truma. You know why? Gzeiro Shema Tachel Achar Misa. She might continuing doing so. She might continue to do so after her husband passes away. So why is there no concern there? Elam Ravashi, Balmona Kohenes. You're right. By an Isha, from a Yisrael family, there's no concern. You know why? Because she knows that she herself personally has no Truma rights. It's only on account of her husband. As long as she's with him, she'll know that. But in a case of Almona Kohenes, which means she hails from a Kohen family, in this case, it might lead to confusion as follows. The Asya Lo Yirui, she might conclude as follows. She'll say, Meikora Achli Betruma de Benasha. You know, initially, before I married this Kohen, my Avodim shared the Truma of my family with me, right? Because they were my Avadim, and I was part of a Kohen family. In Sibilei Lahai, I married this fellow, this Kohen. Achli betruma de Gavroi. Here as well. They were able to continue eating Truma, right, with my husband. Right? Again, we're speaking about an Almana marrying a Kohen Gadol. So she's a Kohenes from home. She always had Truma with her Avadim. She married the Kohen Gadol, inappropriate union. If we are to allow her Avadim to continue eating Truma, she'll say, look, They were always eating truma when I was home. They continued when I married. Vahashta, now, after her husband passes away, she'll just continue on the same track. Vahashta hadri lila milsek ha-maisa. She'll go back and revert to her earlier status. She'll have truma. The avada will have truma. V'lo yada. And she won't realize, or at least she'll give the avadim truma. But the other, she won't realize the miyikar leshavisa nafsha halala. That initially, when she was back home, the reason why they ate on account of her was because she was not a halala. There was nothing wrong with her. She had not yet married a kohen in a forbidden circumstance. But hashta now, after she went through this marriage with the kohen gadol, which was us. And now he passed away. She's back home, sure, but she's in a totally different place than she was earlier. She made herself a cholol. And a cholol, or cholola zavodim, cannot eat truma? So that's the point of concern. We're concerned about a kayhenes from home who had truma with her avodim before marriage. She married a kohen gadol. She turned herself into a halala. She can't eat truma. What about the avodim? If we allow them to have truma, technically they could, but if we allow them to continue in truma, you know what might happen? She won't realize that her status, I should say her status change, the fact that she turned to halala, affects her avodim as well. If we allow them to have truma while she's married to this kohen, when he passes away and she goes back home, she'll continue feeding them truma, not realizing that at this point she has to stop feeding them. And that explains the halacha of the Mishnah, why the Avdi Malug should not be having truma while she's married to the kohen. Says the Gemara, Teinach Almana Kohenes. That explains your case of an Almana who hails from a kohen family. She might go back and continue feeding them. Almana Mas Yisrael Mekalamema. What about a plain Isha from a Yisrael family? Concern doesn't apply there. She's not going back home and feeding anybody truma. Rabbana is not the friendship in this amana, that amana. If we allow this one, we'll allow that one, and it's going to create confusion. Okay, so just to summarize, which avodim can have truma? There are two types. There's the nechse melug, and then there's the tzoynu barzel. The melug are primarily hers, identify with her. He doesn't have any responsibility as per value and damage and welfare of the avodim. Tzoynu barzel are secure as iron, as steel, totally his domain. So we have an almana l'kohen gadol, a grusha, and chalutz l'kohen hedyut. Mishnah says the avdei melug may not have truma. We had several reasons. Either it's minat Torah, that was the first pshat of Ravina, because an acquisition of one who can actually eat truma themselves, they can feed their acquisition, but otherwise not. Here the almana l'kohen gadol is a chalala. Her avada may not eat truma. We have two additional reasons. Either she should not view herself like a proper wife, and this way she'll just leave him. Or, as we just learned, because she might actually be a kohenas back from home, and might continue feeding these avadim, even after this marriage dissolves, which of course is also because they're her avadim, and she's a halala. Now, of course, this only applies to the malug, because by the turn of Brazil, she'll realize that they were only eating on account of him, as long as he was around. So as we say, by Nichse Tzoyin and Barzel, by Avdi Tzoyin and Barzel, according to all Pshatim, there's no concern. They identify with the husband, and they can have Truma. We have two more cases, conventional cases. Bas Yisrael married a Kohen. In that case, both the Avdi Melug or the Avdi Tzoyin and Barzel can have Truma because everybody's good, everybody's eating Truma, husband, wife, and certainly the Avadim as well. When you have a Bas Kohen married a Yisrael, on the other hand, she has to stop eating truma on account of her husband Yisrael. In this case, both types of avodim, whether it's avdei melug or tzoyin barzel, may not eat truma because they are the kinyanim of individuals who don't have truma themselves. Itma, let's continue the Gemara. So we learned regarding the tzoyin barzel. Rashi explained for us, tzoyin barzel is something which was appraised at point of marriage. He was mekabel achrayus. Now what happens if the marriage dissolves? She gets divorced, widowed. She'd like to take that car back home with her. Itmar, Hamachneses Shum Lebalo. She brought Shum. It's a term for anything which was appraised upon marriage. So now, marriage is over. We have a disagreement between husband and wife. She says, look, I want to take the actual possession back home with me. It's mine. Sure, you took responsibility, but the actual thing is still mine. He says, no, it's the opposite. Once I took responsibility, for all practical purposes, I'm the owner. I'll pay you full value, but I'd like this item. I'd like the horse. I'd like the car. Hadin imi, who's right? We have a machlokes. Rabbi Amar hadin imma, she's right. She can take the horse back. Rabbi Ami Amar hadin imma, he's right. He pays her the value. Rabbi Yehuda Amar hadin imma, she wins. Mishum shevach beisavia. It's honorable to her parents, to her mishpacha, that she brings the items back with her. It's part of the family legacy, family estate. It belongs by her. According to some mafarshim, means that she can say, look, I want to bring this into the next marriage. It's honorable for my family that their daughter comes in with these prominent-looking items. So on account of that claim, it's a rightful claim, it's justified, she gets the item back. Mishum shevach beis aviyah didahavi, we rule that it's hers. Rav Ami Amar Adini Moy, he's right. Kivin Amar Maz, we learned in the Mishnah, he takes achrayus, he looks after them. It identifies with him. If they die or they go up in value, it's all his. And therefore, Mishnah tells us just because, since he is the one responsible, the Avadim was speaking, the Avadim can have the Truma because they're practically his. Clearly, he is considered the sole owner, the primary owner, and therefore he's in the right. Amrav Safra. She's going to ask on Rav Ami. Miktani v'en shaloi? Does the Mishnah then say that he is the owner? They're eating truma because he's their owner? It doesn't say that. Hoyl v'chai b'achar yusan k'toni. It says he looks after them. He's responsible for their welfare. Lo'ilam l'avdid deyninu. Nobody's suggesting that they're his, and therefore when it comes to this question of who should take it, he's going to be on top? No. He's just a chai b'achrayis, and that in itself justifies their achilas truma. Really, says the Gemara, Achrayus can allow Achilas Truma, but Kalecha Dechai B'Achrayusan Achli B'Truma, is that a true fact? Does that formula hold true? Achrayus is the criterion? Even without ownership? Really? Vatznan, we have a kasha from a Mishnah. Where we see clearly that Achrayus doesn't allow Achilas Truma, Achrayus is not tantamount to ownership. Atanan Yisrael Shasacha Para Mekoyin. You have a Yisrael rented a para from a koyin. Hareza Yachi Lena Karshine Truma. You can feed the animal this these beans, whatever it is, this animal feed, even though it's truma, because the animal identifies with its owner. It's a koyin's animal who can have truma. Koyin Shasacha Para Mi Yisrael, as opposed to a koyin who rented a Yisrael's para, avach bisham is in a sale, even though the kohen has to feed it, l'yachilena kashini truma, he can't feed a truma feed, because the animal belongs to Yisrael. Here we go, even though he's looking after it, he's responsible for the welfare of this para. It's not considered his, it identifies with its owner. Clearly, achrayis doesn't allow achilas truma. If it is pro, really? You can't compare the two things. You can't compare the renter of a para to the owner of an evet. V'tispro nihi namid machay b'gneva aveda. Sure, the renter has to look after it as per gneva aveda. He's responsible if it's stolen or lost. But that's only limited responsibility. B'in seha, let's say something goes awfully wrong, it dies on him. B'kachsha, gets ill, gets weak. U'b'nifchas domea, goes down in value. Mi machayiv? Does the renter have to look after that? Of course not. So you can compare it to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is speaking about an Eved, which was appraised upon marriage, listed in the Ksuba, whose newfound owner, this husband, has to really look after it and is fully responsible. Anything goes wrong, anything goes right, It's his business. That's a different story. Holodami al Seifa. Our Mishnah is, if anything, more comparable to the next halacha, which discusses appraisal and full-fledged responsibility. It's more than just renting. Yisrael Shasham. Oh, Shasham Parah B'Kayin. Yisrael who accepted a Parah in this, with this Shuma arrangement. It was appraised upon himself to be full responsibility for value, for loss, for gain. In this case, we treat it as his. Shuma is tantamount to real ownership. In this case, it's as though the parah belongs to the Yisrael, which doesn't allow him to feed truma. Conversely, you have a kohen. Have a kohen shasham parah Yisrael. A kohen who had this arrangement with a Yisrael. So once the kohen accepts this parah with a shuma arrangement, for all practical purposes, we treat it as his. Yechelenu kashin et truma, he can feed a truma. So if anything, this last scenario is more comparable to our case. To the Mishnah where the Kohen husband appraised the effort, took it upon himself to look after him, to be responsible for him. In this case, perhaps, to some type of responsibility is tantamount to ownership. And getting back to our Shaila, who gets the item back at the end of the day? Perhaps he does. Because he pretty much had true ownership of this item. As is apparent by the fact that he was allowed to eat truma. So back to our Shaila. Who gets the upper hand? Him or her? Yosef Rabba, V'Rav Yosef, they were sitting b'shili pirkei de Rav Nachman at the conclusion of Rav Nachman's shir. V'yasev ka'amri. And they were sitting and saying like this. We have a machlokes. Rav Ami says he wins. Rav Yehuda says she wins. We actually can prove both shitas from a brisa. Each shita can be supported from another brisa. Tani kevasid Rav Yehuda. We have a raya from a brisa to support Rav Yehuda that she wins. V'tani kevasid Rav Ami. We have another brisa which supports Rav Ami's approach that he is in the right. Tani kevasid Rav Ami. We have a raya that he wins. Avdei tzein barzel yoytzin b'shein v'ayin le'ish avalei le'ish. We know that an evet k'nani, who's struck by his master in his eye or his tooth, he goes free. Who's considered the owner in this case? Says the brisa, avdei tzein barzel, an evet which was brought into this marriage, appraised, evaluated, and who is placed in the domain of the husband, so to speak. He looks after it. He's achrayi. Yoitzin b'shein v'ayin le'ish. If husband strikes eye or tooth, they are set free. He's considered the owner. Avloi le'isha, but not when it happens through the wife. Clearly, we treat the eved as a possession of husband. That's the right to Rav Ami. Ta'ani kevasid Rav Yehuda. On the other hand, the right to Rav Yehuda, that we treat it as hers as well. Hamachnes shum lebala. When she brings in these items, which are appraised and listed in the ksuva, imratza habal limkar laimkar. If husband decides to sell, he has no right. They belong to her. Not only that, even if he added as well, according to some unfortunate, it means that he designated a field as an exchange her field. In any case, it was something that he contributed as well to the shuma. Imratza habal limkar laimkar. He can't sell. And the price concludes. Let's say either husband or wife decide to sell it in order to support themselves. It doesn't work. They have no right to do so. This was a story brought to Rabbi Shimon Amliel. But Amar, he said, take it out of the, annul the deal. Habal moitzi me'ad lekuchos. Husband has the right to extract it from the buyer. Bottom line is, you clearly see in the brisa that husband or wife cannot sell these properties. Why can't husband sell it if it's his? Apparently it's not his. Amarav Nachman, Halach Rav Yehuda. Indeed, that's how he paskin, that she gets it back. Amarav Rav Nachman. What do you mean by Tanik? What's the Rav Ami? What about the brisa which supported Rav Ami that he's in the right? Avagav the Tanik Avasei, says the Gemara. Even though we have a brisa which supports Rav Ami, Avagav the Tanik Avasei the Rav Ami. Mestavra time with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's argument seems to be more in the right. Mishum Shavach Beisavia, because of that. Family legacy factor. That's an overwhelming argument, and that overrides it all. So this way, she gets back whatever she brings in. Okay, having said that, we had a story about an isha. The Ayla Leila Gavra, she came into marriage, and she brought in to the husband itzla is a robe, the milsa made from high quality wool. Biksuvasan, this was of course recorded in the ksuva. This was appraised and part of the tzayin barzel. Shachiv, husband passed away, and in their agony, as an expression of mourning, shaklua yasmi, the orphans took this beged, this very beged, upersua amisna, they spread it over the father who had passed away. And we know that anything which serves a mace becomes asur bahana. So what happens to this beggar, which is technically hers? You would think they have no right to make it asur. Amarava, no. Kamye misna, here's a chiddush. The mace acquired it, meaning it now identifies with the departed fellow. It's considered like tachrichim, like shrouds, which are asur bahana. Amalei nani. Nani told Rav Yehuda, told Rava. He was the son of Breda Rav Yosef, Breda Rava, the Rav Kahana. Sorry, he told Rav Kahana. How can Rava forbid future use of this? It's still the milsa, just because it was wrapped around the mace. It's not even there, it's hers. Mama Rav, I'm Rav Nachman. Regarding that discussion earlier, who is the primary owner? Halacha Rav Yehuda. She gets her items back. How can they take her item and make it also? You can't do that. You have no right to take somebody else's item and make it asr. Amar lei, Rav Kahana responded. True. Technically, she should have claimed the item back. She is the primary owner, as we concluded earlier. Hadini ma, shevach beisavia, right? But here, they usurped that. They undid that. You know why? Mi lo yimoyde Rav Yehuda. Wouldn't Rav Yehuda himself agree? The mechusar gavayna. The fact is, you haven't yet claimed it. You have a lien, you have a claim on it, but you haven't yet collected it. It's still sitting in the other person's possession. And still, since it's not yet been collected, it's by him, which means to say like this. You know, if something is in your pocket, true, nobody can take it and make it asr. In the case of Shuma, in the case of Tzoyin Barzel, even though we concluded that wife has a full right to reclaim the item upon leaving the marriage. But that's considered no more than a shibud mamon. She has a monetary claim on it. Give it back to me. I want it back. But the item itself, until it was returned, is in the possession of the husband, or in this case, the husband's, yarshim, right? She has a shibud. She has a monetary claim on it. She has a tzviya, but they have the item. And now, if they take the item, and they apply a kedushas haguf to it, they make it a hegdish, or they make it asr, these are ideas that pertain to the actual item itself, beyond the financial aspect, beyond the monetary aspect of the item. It's the item itself that becomes part of the tachruchi ames, or becomes hegdish to the beis hamidash. That undoes her monetary claim, that supersedes it and undoes it. Since it hadn't yet been claimed by her, it's the truth, she has a claim, she has a shibud, but the actual item is in their possession. The fact is, they still have to look after it, they're responsible for it. It's considered in their domain. Now when they spread it over the mace, it becomes asr. Rava tamei, in accordance with Rava's shita elsewhere, Dama Rava, hegdesh chametz v'shichru, mafgin midei shibud. Suppose Shimon borrows money from Reuben and he designates an eved as collateral, we call it the apoiteki. You can claim your debt with this, you can collect it from this item. Now he goes and he takes the item, Shimon does, and he makes it hegdish. It's done. It's hegdish. Hegdish is kedushas haguf. It pertains to the actual item itself. To the core item. And that overrides, it supersedes any financial claims, any monetary tviya that Reuven has on it. So that's the first case, hekdesh. That's mafkiya midei shibud. It undoes the shibud, the monetary claim or lien, which Reuven has on this item. Chametz is an example where you have chametz designated to the goy for a collection of his debt. And then Pesach comes along, we treat it as a chametz of Yisrael and becomes aser. Because that's something that pertains to the actual item, the Yisrael chametz, that supersedes any sort of lien that the goy may have on it. V'shichrur is another example of a eved. So yeah, I let you take the eved, but I let him go. I set him free. Not exactly the nicest thing to do, but it's done. Because shichrur pertains to the actual item. The eved is now free. I'm the actual owner. You have a lien. You may have a lien on it. You may have a claim on it, but I'm the owner. I'm a shachrur the eved. He goes free. And the malva has to go find another venue for his claim. So now a case, even though Isha has a full claim to this, it's still the milsa, but if they use it for tachrichim on the mace, that affects the core essence of this item. Makes it aser, despite the fact that she had a claim on this item. Amar Bihuda, here comes another halacha regarding the shuma, the item which was praised upon marriage. Hichnisa lo shnei kelim. So this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. He's the one that said, Hadin ima. She has a right to take back the item because of Shabbach Beisaviyah. Listen to this story. Hichnisa lo shnei kelim. She came in with two kelim, which were appraised, be'elav zuz, a total of 1,000 zuz for both. And then they went up in price. They went up in value. V'shibchu v'amdu al shnei alafim. So they went up, they doubled in price. Instead of a total of 1,000 zuz, v'shafchu v'amdu al shnei alafim, they're now worth 2,000. How much could she reclaim? Only 1,000, right? That's the agreement. That's the point of appraising, right? She can come back and get the amount for which her item was appraised. So now, technically, she only gets back 1,000, but she wants both items back. Echad neitlasa b'ksubasa. So item number one, that's worth only 1,000, she takes on account of the ksuba, right? That's her basic claim. Echad neitlasa damim neitlasa. And the second item, she has to pay for, because she can take it back as well, but she has to pay for it, because it's her husband's gain. How come she has a claim to the item itself? Because of the svar we said, because it's part of her parents and family's legacy. Mike Mashmalus the Chiddush, Shevach Beisaviyah di Dohavi, because of that Svara, she can get back the item. Ham Rav Yudah Chadazim, Rav Yudah already discussed it earlier. What's the actual Chiddush here? Maldo Tema, perhaps I would think here it's different. Ha, Namili, when do we say she takes back the item? Hecha de Matya le Mishka, b'ksuvasa, when she can come take it on account of the Ksuva. Ava, but in this case, she has to add money. She's not just simply reclaiming the item because of the ksuva. Aval meitan dummy, but to actually pay Mishkan to take back the item. Here she has to actually pay to get back the item because, as we said, it went up in value. She has to pay for it. So perhaps in this case, who's to say she can take back the item? It's like, consider it like his. Aval meitan dummy, but to pay Mishkan to reclaim the actual item. Like, who says she has the right to do that? Perhaps it remains by him, Kamashmon. The Chiddush is no, even in this case, Shevach by Sevilla, such a powerful taina, she gets it all back, whether for free or whether she has to pay. Either way, she gets the items back. Okay, so a quick, brief recap of today's daf. We know that an Isha of a Kohen can have Truma, she's called Kinyan Kaspay. The Eved of a Kohen as well can have Truma, Kinyan Kaspay. We learn in a Braisa, just as they eat, the Kinyan Shekhani Kinyan eats. The Kohen's Eved purchased an Eved, or the Isha purchased an Eved, just as their owners eat, they eat as well. And the Mishnah had three cases, with varying halachis. So we're speaking about Avodim, different types of Avodim. We have the Milug category, which are pretty much hers, but he can enjoy them. We have the Tzoyin Barzal category, which were appraised, for which he takes Achrayis, any loss or gain are his. What happens to those Avodim? Can they eat or not? In the first case, we had a forbidden marriage, Almana the Kohen Gadol, etc. Tzoyin Barzal can have, because they're his. Milu can't. We have three reasons in the Gemara. Whether it's midiraisa, because since their owner, wife, can't eat, they can't either. Or it's midirabbanan, she should view herself like a gazoinel, and she should just leave the marriage. We have another svara, because perhaps she's coming from a family of kehanim, and after marriage, and after leaving him, she might continue feeding the avadim, which of course she can't, because now they belong to a halala. After she went through that experience, she became affected by this marriage, she can't have, and they can't have. So therefore, any type of amon kohen gadol or grush and chutzal kohen hediyot should not feed her nichsei meluk truma, even though she's still married to this kohen. On the other hand, you have simple cases of bas yisrael married to a kohen, just as she eats all the avadim eat. Bas kohen coming from a kohen family now with a yisrael, just as she doesn't have truma nor do the avadim. So the marriage is over. She wants back. She wants the nichsei tzoren barzel back. He says, look, I'm giving you back, but I'll pay for it. I want to hold on to the actual item. Who's right? Rami says, he's right. He's the primary owner because of the achrayis, because he took responsibility, it identifies with him. He'll pay for it, but he can hold on to the actual item. As we see in the Mishnah, that they can have truma on account of him. Apparently, he's considered the owner. Rabbi Yehuda goes the other way. He says, she's right because of the svara of shevach beisavia, belongs to her family. She has a right to claim it back. We had two chidushim at the end of the Gemara. Although she has a claim, she has the tzviya. I want it back, but as long as it's still sitting in their domain, her husband or her family's domain, the actual item is in their possession. And if they should do any sort of thing that affects the actual item, like hegdish, chametz, shichru, in this case we had tachrich hameis, it affects Isser on the item. We conclude with another aspect of this halacha, that her claim is absolute. That's how we see in Tepaskin. Her claim is absolute. She can actually take it back, even though it went up in value. She has to pay the difference in value. So let her pay. But she can still reclaim the actual items because of Shevach Beis Avia. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah always.